And if you never turn the next page, you'll never know what the next chapter holds. And some of us fear the future, and we're keeping our finger right in one place, and we do not want to go to the next chapter. And it doesn't make any difference what age you are. God is writing the story of your life. And it's going to be an adventure if you go along with God and His plan and His purpose for your life. Now we have to be careful who we let into our lives, because many people will write chapters in our book, our parents, our neighbors, our teachers. But we want godly people writing different paragraphs and chapters in our life. We need to be careful who we let in. We just don't allow anybody into the story of our life, because then it can become a horror story, you know? So we need to be careful who we let in our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives. Because every person affects us, and they will write a sentence, a paragraph, or a chapter in our life. And some can bring great joy, and others can bring great sorrow. Paul told young Timothy to be strong and to teach others what Paul had taught him. In other words, we're supposed to teach others what we have been taught, especially when it comes to our Lord and our Savior and our Master Jesus Christ. We are to pass that on to the next generation. This is the last sermon in the series for the next generation. We are here, folks, today. And older, you know, there's the old saying, where two or three are gathered, there it is in the midst. Well, that's the way it was for our children today, right? We are to write things into their story, into their life. But it's supposed to be the things of God which are eternal. And Paul was told Timothy to do that. Whatever you have been taught, don't keep it. Whatever you have learned, you need to share it with other people. You need to share your faith, but you need to share the knowledge of Jesus Christ with other people, especially the next generation. We've talked about this before. We've said the church is always one generation away from extinction. The next generation needs the fire of the Holy Spirit, needs the power of a resurrected Savior known as Jesus Christ. The next generation needs to be the church that is not afraid to lay down their lives for the cause of the kingdom of God. Our generation should be that too. But it always has not been that way. Now, who wrote chapters in Timothy's life? There was his grandmother. She's mentioned by name. Lois was her name. We have a Lois here, right? There she is. She just had a birthday. She's 58. Lightning did not strike me. Lois was known to have a deep, rich faith in Jesus Christ, and she's mentioned in Scripture and affecting her grandson, Timothy, passing it on and writing a chapter in his book. And then his mother was mentioned, Eunice, by name in Scripture, a woman of great faith, a woman who followed Christ Jesus no matter what the cost was. And she wrote chapters in her son's life. And then there was respected people, and there was a man in his church named the Apostle Paul that wrote pages and pages into young Timothy's life. Who are you letting write pages or chapters in your life, no matter how old you are? Be careful who you let in. You don't want your life to become a Stephen King novel or a Stephen King movie. How many of you know who Stephen King is? Anybody? Okay, good. We used to live really close to Stephen King. So whenever anybody came to visit us, we'd drive over and show them Stephen King's house. He is weird. Gargoyles all over his windows and his house, and just really creepy. And when you talk to people who went to high school with him there, Maine, they said he was always strange. My children did a television commercial with him for the Bangor Library. But I would not let Stephen King into my children's life. I would not let Stephen King, because he was a great man who many movies had been made and many books have been written. They did not have a connection with Stephen King. Now, Bonnie made a connection with him one time. We were in the grocery store in Brewer, Maine, our hometown, and one of her friends said, Stephen King's on the next aisle over. Well, she was so anxious to see Stephen King, she ran around the corner, and guess what she did? She bumped right into Stephen King and was knocked over. He just gave her that goofy smile. Be careful who we let write pages and paragraphs and chapters in our life. Be careful. Where you live writes a chapter in your life. Growing up here in King City has going to give you a certain perspective on worldviews and even your spirituality. Or if you grew up in the slums of New York City, or if you grew up living in India, you will have a perspective that has a different chapter than other people, but they are useful for other people to know about. Every person you meet, every experience you have, every place you travel adds to your book, adds to your story. But the sad thing about reading a good book is they end, don't they? Don't you hate that? You get to the end and go, I can't believe it. They gotta write another one. I gotta write a sequel. It's like movies. You ever watch a movie and it's gonna end like this? We wanna know what happens. Well, there's something that we need to know. The only life story book that does not end is those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ. Our book is eternal. What we live here on earth is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of our book, because where we leave off here, we pick up in eternity in heaven. Isn't that exciting? There's going to be some people who are so embarrassed when they get to heaven. They really are. They have great academic positions. They could have been professors or lawyers or whatever. And there will be that little old poor grandmother that all she did was keep house and take care of things, and she'll have a high position in heaven because of her great faith and loyalty and work for the kingdom of God. We need to be writing chapters in our book, but we need to be doing it heading for eternity, where there's not an ending chapter, but it's just opening us up for eternity and for glory with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does your child or grandchild know how to encounter God? That's a very important question. Because you might say, I don't know how to encounter God. Then we've got a problem, right? It should be written as a chapter in their life on how to encounter God. Does your child or grandchild know how to get to heaven? Do you know how to get to heaven? Are you ensuring that it is written in their heart on how to get to heaven and how to encounter this living God that we know? The worst thing a parent or a grandparent can do is to allow their grandchildren and their children to have that grandchild or that child's book have an ending, to have a last chapter. I have done funerals for 40-some years. And some of the accolades and stuff that we say about people is only things that they did here on earth. They really are not going to be any benefit in eternity. Do you ever think about what you want in your obituary? I don't want to be known as anything else but someone who gave my whole heart and life and service to Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be written in my chapter before I go to heaven. I don't know about you. You see, parents are either going to prepare their children to follow Christ or to follow the world. There's only two choices. And if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, guess what? The world will teach them not to follow Christ. Amen?
Amen.
There's this bad saying. I don't like this saying. It says, it takes a village to raise a child. I don't like that saying. Because I just wouldn't let anybody in King City raise my children to write chapters in their life, right? What I should say is this. It takes a whole church to raise a child. That's what we're here for. We're not here today just for ourselves. Maybe you came for yourself today. But we're here today for each other, and we're here for the next generation. We're here so that we can be writing chapters in each other's lives and that bring glory to our Creator God and the maker of our lives and the shaper of all things that happen in this world and for eternity. Amen. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says this, direct your children onto the right path. Another version says, train your children. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. That's a promise from God. That's a good promise. What is more important for our children and grandchildren? A God-filled life or a world-filled life? I've been a part of a church long enough now to know that the majority of our kids that come out of churches, because I can go back on Facebook 40 years and see that the majority of our children do not end up serving Christ that grew up in the church. And it breaks my heart. And there's some nights I can't sleep because I thought of the potential of that child. Those parents and those grandparents prepared that child only to be filled with this world, and not God-filled. Wow. You see, one is everlasting. The other one is only about 78 years. The one that's everlasting is a God-filled life, a world-filled life. The average expectancy of life in America is 78. Did you know that? Mozambique, I'm dead. The expectancy there is like 56.9 or something. So I'm deceased already if I was in Mozambique. 78 years is just a speck in eternity. It's a piece of dust that we can't even see in measurement of eternity. Oh, Proverbs, listen to this one. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. I like this one because I've never had a Bible translation that used the word youngster. This is the New Living Translation. It says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but physical discipline. Did you hear this part? Physical discipline. It doesn't say punishment. It says physical discipline will drive it far away. Now, the next verse I'm going to give you is going to really blow some people's minds. I know it's going to blow my daughter's mind. I probably should send her a copy of this sermon because she does not spank her children, but I spank her children. Hello? Mean, Pastor Gene. Mean Gene, the spanking machine. But when we're in public and I say that I'm going to spank them, they know I mean it. And they straighten up. Otherwise, they run the show. Three boys. They run the show. No matter where they are. And the parents say, we're going to spank you, but I don't know how hard they spank them. I believe a spanking should be hard. But this is a wild passage found in Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14. Remember, I didn't write this. This is in the Bible. Hello? Listen to this. Don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. Don't you love that person? Don't fail to discipline, not punish, not punish. It's not punishment, it's discipline. It's discipline. It's just like when the coach says, get down and give me 50. I want you to run around this field 40 times because of the stupid mistake you made. Discipline, discipline, discipline. And then the next verse says, physical discipline may well save them from death. Don't you want to save your children, your grandchildren from death? Oh yeah. If my grandchildren hits me or kicks me or slaps me, I want to save them from death. So I give them right back to them. Hello? Because they're not going to grow up thinking that's okay. Oh, you're a violent person, Gene. No. Discipline. Discipline. There were four youth in a youth group in a church that we were attending. Very large church. These kids were pretty privileged. The church we attended was rather wealthy, had really important people in it. Really important people in that denomination were there. Some of these kids were missionaries' grandchildren. But anyways, just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're being reared in the things of the Lord. The parents had the biggest part of it. Not the youth group, not the youth pastor, the parents and the grandparents. These four boys decided after youth group on Wednesday night, because they'd just been in the house of God, that they were going to go out drinking. They went out drinking, and they got drunk. And they got so drunk that they drove through a construction site, and they ran right underneath a flatbed truck and decapitated all four of them. What a tragedy in that church. Even though it was a large church. Did they have the physical discipline? No. They felt entitled. Did God do it to be mean? No. It was just the consequences of their sin nature. God didn't do it to them. God's not that kind of God. He's a God of love. That's why the Lord says we need to give discipline to our children to save them from death. We are not our children's buddy. Did you know that? I've heard some parents go, I'm going to be the best friends with my kids. You know, If our kids don't respect us, then they'll have trouble respecting all authority because they think all authority is supposed to be their buddy too. And they will even have trouble respecting God's authority over their lives. I just want to close with this today. I'm going to give you four things that Christian parents must do to raise godly children. This is a must do. So write them down if you're serious about your children serving God and knowing Him. These are four things that Christians must do. There's many, many other things we need to do. These four things we must do. Number one, parents must commit to continually deepening their understanding of Jesus Christ and the Scriptures. The parents do. Parents. You know how many times I've heard youth in the church say, I know way more about the Scripture and Jesus than my parents do, and I know that child, and that child doesn't know that much. That's sad, isn't it? So the first one is parents must commit to continually deepening their understanding of Jesus Christ and the Scriptures. Number two, parents must intentionally make spiritual space in their home. What's spiritual space? That's time where we will pray with our children, we will have a devotion with our children, and I remember I said have a family night in one of the other messages I preached. You just have a time of maybe 10 minutes of prayer request and reading something, but I think that it's reasonable that 30 minutes a week we can have some spiritual space. Because we are spiritual beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. And what lives forever? Our spirit. And to only give 30 minutes a week, that's quite reasonable. So parents must intentionally make spiritual space in their home. Number three, parents must study the Bible with their kids. My father only once, we had not grown up in a church family. I remember, the only thing I remember my father doing besides beat me with a baseball bat one time, and I actually got my head in the head with a wiffle ball when he filled the garage. The only other thing I really remember that sticks out that's really good is the day that he sat down and he tried to study the Bible with us. Oh, he was horrible at it, but that stuck with me through all my years. Do you know that fewer than 1 in 10 Christian families do this? So parents, number three is this. Parents must study the Bible with their kids. Why? Because our kids are constantly going to be attacked. As they get into high school and they get into college, they're going to be told by people who are of authority that the Bible is ancient, that the Bible is irrelevant, that the Bible has inaccuracies, and the Bible has several contradictions. But if they've been studying the Scripture with you, that just washes right over them like water. They don't even hear it. They don't even care. And the fact of it is, the only thing that's true about that is the Bible is ancient, but it is more relevant today than it's ever been. Hello? The Bible is more relevant than it's ever been. This is the last one. We're going to close with this one. Parents must regularly ask their kids what questions they have about faith. Now, I know that's a long one, so I'm going to say it again if you're writing it down or you're putting it in your phone. Parents must regularly ask their kids what questions they have about faith. Now, what you can do to do that is have an actual scheduled question night. Don't try to do this once a week, okay? 3 to 4 times a year, let your kids know in advance that you're going to have a question night. They can ask any question about God or faith. Are you going to have the answer? Probably not. So what will you do? You'll call up the pastor, and he will have the answer, right? No, he probably won't. But you are exploring this together, and you start looking for the answers together. Oh, I am so glad that I used some of these things. But now my children are serving God, and they're serving God in ministry, too. You always hear about the pastor's kids being the worst kids, right? No. It's a lot of times the pastor is so busy trying to get everybody else to know Christ that his own family gets left out. My number one ministry has always been to my wife and my family first, and then to others. And it needs to be the same for you and your family. Minister to your children. Well, with that, let's pray. And then we're going to sing a song that says, Rescue the Perishing. You know, I think the people that are need rescuing the most is the next generation. We need our children to be saved. Father, we just ask that your word would take root in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our minds, and change us dramatically today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We sing with great view of the church.